Accordingly, I was trying to emphasize only one thing, and that thing is the coexistence of Iman and Ilm. Christianity says that faith is something different from knowledge, and that there is a dichotomy between faith and knowledge. And consequently, you read in history the struggle which went on and the battles which raged between the Christian church and the forces of knowledge. There you find a whole history of conflict between religion and, I mean, the faith and reason. Similar things you will find among others, and unfortunately you will find also among Muslims of today, very often. But if you read the Quran, you will find that the Quran has placed Iman and Ilm together. Islam has resolved this conflict for all times. For instance, you read in the Holy Quran, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate to higher and higher rank those who are endowed with faith and those who are endowed with knowledge. Or there is a verse even more basic than this about Iman and Ilm that Islam has placed the two together. The verse is, لِيَعْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةِ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّى عَنْ بَيِّنَةِ. Whoever perishes spiritually, it is his obligation as a human being to employ his reason. Even he who perishes spiritually does not accept that message which has been sent by God. From him also the Quran demands that you are a human being. You have got reason. If you don't accept Islam, if you don't accept the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent in the Quran through His beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, do it. You are free, but do it on the basis of reason. وَيَعْيَا مَنْ حَيَّ عَمْ يَنَا. And he who accepts Islam, he should also accept it on the basis of bayyina. What is bayyina? Bayyina is that logical argument which is based on pure knowledge. That is bayyina. You won't find it in the Bible. You won't find it in Hinduism. You won't find the slightest faith of all this greatness in Buddhism, or in Zoroastrianism, or in Confucianism, or in Taoism, or any other religion. It is only the Quran which is saying. This is the place of knowledge in the Quran. And I have already expounded as to what the Quran means by ilm, and what the Quran means by ulama. And therein I have expounded to you the basis of ilm, that the basis of ilm is observation. And here I may relate a story. I have been talking too much academically. I may relate a story. It is said that one day a muezzin was calling out the azan, and one of the great saints of Islamic history, probably Junaid al-Baghdadi, he was a great scholar, also a great Sufi. He was walking on the road, and as he came near the masjid, and the muezzin was saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Junaid al-Baghdadi, such a great man, he came and caught hold of the collar of that muezzin and said, Shut up, you liar! Shut up, you liar! And the Muslim was frightened. He was saying only, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, which is the highest truth. He was proclaiming the highest truth. And here comes this great man, this great Sufi and this great alim, he comes and he says, shut up you liar, so he told me. He said, you are bearing witness that there is no God but Allah. You are saying, Ashhadu. Now witness is only on the basis of observation, on the basis of mushahada. You are giving the shahada, there should be a mushahada for it. Have you made the mushahada? And if you have not made the mushahada, what right have you got to make the shahada? And the poor Muslim, he was not a very educated person. Oh, I'm very sorry. You have told me that I can carry on. Okay. Then there was some wise person standing nearby. And when that person saw that Junaid was holding the Muslim by the collar and he said, shut up, you liar. So this wise man came near and he said, sir, what is the matter? Why are you angry with the Muslim? He said, this fellow is saying Ashhadu and he has made no mushahada. Then he is a liar. Then the wise man said, sir, the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam had made the mushahada and he has taught this and this man believes him to be absolutely true, therefore he is not a liar in saying this. My dear friends, I have been told that the university must leave that printhead, the last one. And now probably it is 15 minutes past 10. It is, the subject is actually very rich in its detail. And I feel that I have only stated the preamble so far. So let me finish with this preamble today, tonight. And of course I live here and you also live here. I can come to you again when you can listen to the other part of it, if you so wish. But I think even in this preamble I have made it amply clear. May I close my talk with this? If you read the history of science, this thing has been mentioned by Western scholars who are prejudiced and biased against Islam. It has been mentioned by them also. For instance, Robert Brisholt in his Making of Humanity, he says that science before Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was pre-scientific. Physics was combined with metaphysics, chemistry was combined with magic, and so on and so forth. He says that it was the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam who gave the method of inquiry in the field of science, that is the inductive method of inquiry. Who gave the principles on which physical science was possible, and who started the whole course of this physical science. Muslims carried on this great mission and this great work for centuries. And then, under the impact of certain historical forces, they turned their back on that pursuit. For the last 600 years, they have made no contribution in the field of physical science. And those whom they have taught physical science in Europe, they could understand its merit, and they have worked in that field. Don't think that this physical science is alien to us. Don't think that this physical science comes in conflict anywhere with us as Muslims. Rather, it is our mission. It is our duty with these people of the West or of Japan. They are performing. And the earlier we come to realize that this is our duty basically and primarily, and that it is the mission of the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, the better it will be for the Muslims. And if they don't realize that, I don't think that they have any future in this world. I wish to say it very frankly and very bluntly. Before closing, I will also say to my brothers who are students of theology, we theologians of today, our knowledge level has gone down so tremendously. that there is absolutely no resemblance between us and our great forefathers. I'll give you just one instance. Imam Abu Hanifa, he was a very eminent jurist, and we feel, and I also used to feel, that we are a small jurist and he was a very, very, very great jurist. That's all. But we belong to his category. Then I happened to go to Paris. And I happened to go to the museum in Paris, the Bibliothèque Internationale. And there I found the manuscript written by Imam Abu Hanifa on astrophysics. He has drawn all the diagrams in that manuscript. He has proved the solar system. He has calculated the diameter of the earth, circumference of the earth, circumference of the moon and diameter of the moon, circumference of the sun and diameter of the sun, distance of the moon from the earth, distance of the sun from the earth, and all that he has done on the basis of mathematical equations of the highest order. I copied it and I presented it to those who are experts in astronomy, and they told me that the calculations of Imam Abu Hanifa in that rare field, and probably he is the founder of this field, in that his calculations and those calculations which the modern astronomers have made, with all their instruments of precision in this century, the difference or the error is 0.00001% only. These were our theologians, and these are we theologians, we are not taught anything. We are the upholders of, we are the torch bearers of the Quran. We are the followers of the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, who proclaimed about himself, "Utitu innal awwaleen wal akhireen." He said that I have been given knowledge of, since this creation has taken place up to eternity, all about this cosmos, I have been given the knowledge. This is what he said about himself. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Adam alayhi salam, the first human being. Allana Adam al-asma'a kullaha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names of all things. And names, my dear friends, are not merely names. Behind names there is a whole story of the attributes and properties and all those things of that thing that the name is. If you say water, then you must also know what water means, otherwise you can't use it. This mission is the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam brought. This great philosophy of life, matchless in the history of mankind, which is contained in the Holy Quran and in the Hadith. This great tradition, which was built by our Islamic scholars in the heyday of our glory, this shall have to be revived by us. Islam says that nobody can be an Islamic theologian until and unless he is a master of every branch of knowledge. Chemistry and physics and biology and mathematics and philosophy of science and philosophy of history and economics and politics, history and mythology and all that. Because the Holy Quran deals with life as a whole. The Holy Quran has not come merely for establishing relation of worship between man and God. The Holy Quran does not teach us a cult. It teaches deen. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. It teaches a way of life whereby we can comprehend the entire cosmos and our function in the entire cosmos. So, I would say with all the love that I have for all of you, as your very humble servant, and as a very humble servant of Islam, for God's sake, try to understand the message of the Quran. Try to understand the role which physical science has played and is playing and will play in human life. If Muslims do not force ahead in the field of physical science. They have already been reduced to parias. We are 700 million in the world, but in the international market our value is not 70-80 paisa. Again, I was trying to emphasize only one thing, and that thing is the coexistence of Iman and Ilm. Christianity says that faith is something different from knowledge, and that there is a dichotomy between faith and knowledge. And consequently, you read in history the struggle which went on and the battles which raged between the Christian church and the forces of knowledge. There you find a whole history of conflict between religion and, I mean, the faith and reason. Similar things you will find among others, and unfortunately you will find also among Muslims of today, very often. But if you read the Quran, you will find that the Quran has placed Iman and Ilm together. Islam has resolved this conflict for all times. For instance, you read in the Holy Quran, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate to higher and higher rank those who are endowed with faith and those who are endowed with knowledge. Or there is a verse even more basic than this about Iman and Ilm that Islam has placed the two together. The verse is, لِيَعْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةِ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّى عَنْ بَيِّنَةِ. Whoever perishes spiritually, it is his obligation as a human being to employ his reason. Even he who perishes spiritually does not accept that message which has been sent by God. From him also the Quran demands that you are a human being, you have got reason. If you don't accept Islam, if you don't accept the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent in the Quran through His beloved Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, do it. You are free, but do it on the basis of reason. وَيَعْيَا مَنْ حَيَّ عَمْ يَنَا. And he who accepts Islam, he should also accept it on the basis of bayyana. What is bayyana? Bayyana is that logical argument which is based on pure knowledge. That is bayyana. You won't find it in the Bible. You won't find it in Hinduism. You won't find the slightest trace of all this greatness in Buddhism or in Zoroastrianism or in Confucianism or in Taoism or any other religion. It is only the Quran which is saying. This is the place of knowledge in the Quran. And I have already expounded as to what the Quran means by ilm and what the Quran means by ulama. And therein I have expounded to you the basis of ilm, that the basis of ilm is observation. And here I may relate a story. I have been talking too much academically. I may relate a story. It is said that one day a muezzin was calling out the azan. And one of the great saints of Islamic history, probably Junaid al-Baghdadi, he was a great scholar, also a great Sufi. He was walking on the road, and as he came near the masjid, and the muezzin was saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Junaid al-Baghdadi, such a great man, he came and caught hold of the collar of that muezzin and said, Shut up, you liar! Shut up, you liar!
when the Muslim was frightened, he was saying only, Ashadu Allah, Ilaha Illallah, which is the highest truth. He was proclaiming the highest truth. And here comes this great man, this great Sufi and this great Alim, he comes and he says, shut up, you liar. So he told me. He said, you are bearing witness that there is no God but Allah. You are saying, Ashadu. Now witness is only on the basis of observation, on the basis of mushahada. You are giving the shahada, there should be a mushahada for it. Have you made the mushahada? And if you have not made the mushahada, what right have you got to make the shahada? And the poor Muslim, he was not a very educated person. Oh, I'm very sorry. You are told me that I can carry on. Okay. Then there was some wise person standing nearby. And when that person saw that Junaid was holding the Muslim by the collar and he said, shut up, you liar. So this wise man came near and he said, sir, what is the matter? Why are you angry with the Muslim? He said, this fellow is saying Ashadu, and he has made no mushahada. Then he is a liar. Then the wise man said, sir, the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam had made the mushahada, and he has taught this, and this man believes him to be absolutely true, therefore he is not a liar in saying this. My dear friends, I have been told that the university bus leaves at 10:30, the last one. And now probably it is 15 minutes past 10. The subject is actually very rich in its detail. And I feel that I have only stated the preamble so far. So let me finish with this preamble today, tonight. Of course, I live here and you also live here. I can come to you again when you can listen to the other part of it, if you so wish. But I think, even in this preamble, I have made it amply clear. May I close my talk with this? If you read the history of science, this thing has been mentioned by Western scholars who are prejudiced and biased against Islam. It has been mentioned by them also. For instance, Robert Brisault, in his Making of Humanity, he says that science before Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was pre-scientific. Physics was combined with metaphysics, chemistry was combined with magic, and so on and so forth. He says that it was the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam who gave the method of inquiry in the field of science, that is the inductive method of inquiry. Who gave the principles on which physical science was possible, and who started the whole course of this physical science. Muslims carried on this great mission and this great work for centuries. And then, under the impact of certain historical forces, they turned their back on that pursuit. For the last 600 years, they have made no contribution in the field of physical science. And those whom they have taught physical science in Europe, they could understand its merit, and they have worked in that field. Don't think that this physical science is alien to us. Don't think that this physical science comes in conflict anywhere with us as Muslims. Rather, it is our mission, it is our duty with these people of the West or of Japan, they are performing. And the earlier we come to realize that this is our duty basically and primarily, and that it is the mission of the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, the better it will be for the Muslims. And if they don't realize that, I don't think that they have any future in this world. I wish to say it very frankly and very bluntly. Before closing, I'll also say to my brothers who are students of theology, we theologians of today, our knowledge level has gone down so tremendously that there is absolutely no resemblance between us and our great forefathers. I'll give you just one instance. Imam Abu Hanifa, he was a very eminent jurist, and we feel, and I also used to feel, that we are a small jurist and he was a very, very, very great jurist. That is all. But we belong to his category. Then I happened to go to Paris, and I happened to go to the museum in Paris, the Bibliothèque Internationale. And there I found the manuscript written by Imam Abu Hanifa on astrophysics. He has drawn all the diagrams in that manuscript. He has proved the solar system. He has calculated the diameter of the earth, circumference of the earth, circumference of the moon and diameter of the moon, circumference of the sun and diameter of the sun, distance of the moon from the earth, distance of the sun from the earth, and all that he has done on the basis of mathematical equations of the highest order. I copied it, and I presented it to those who are experts in astronomy, and they told me that the calculations of Imam Abu Hanifa in that rare field, and probably he is the founder of this field, in that his calculations and those calculations which the modern astronomers have made, with all their instruments of precision in this century, the difference or the error is 0.00001% only. These were our theologians, and these are we theologians, we are not taught anything. We are the upholders of, we are the charge bearers of the Quran. We are the followers of the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, who proclaimed about himself, "Utitu innal awwaleen wal akhireen." He said that I have been given knowledge of, since this creation has taken place up to eternity, all about this cosmos, I have been given the knowledge. This is what he said about himself. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Adam alayhi salam, the first human being. Allana Adam al-asma'a kullaha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names of all things. And names, my dear friends, are not merely names. Behind names there is a whole story of the attributes and properties and all those things of that thing that the name is. If you say water, then you must also know what water means, otherwise you can't use it. This mission which the Holy Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam brought, this great philosophy of life, matchless in the history of mankind, which is contained in the Holy Quran and in the Hadith, this great tradition which was built by our Islamic scholars in the heyday of our glory, this shall have to be revived by us. Islam says that nobody can be an Islamic theologian until and unless he is a master of every branch of knowledge. Chemistry and physics and biology and mathematics and philosophy of science and philosophy of history and economics and politics, history and mythology and all that. Because the Holy Quran deals with life as a whole. The Holy Quran has not come merely for establishing relation of worship between man and God. The Holy Quran does not teach us a cult. It teaches deen. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. It teaches a way of life whereby we can comprehend the entire cosmos and our function in the entire cosmos. So, I would say with all the love that I have for all of you, as your very humble servant, and as a very humble servant of Islam, for God's sake, try to understand the message of the Quran. Try to understand the role which secret of science has played and is playing and will play in human life. If Muslims do not force ahead in the field of physical science, they have already been reduced to parias. We are 700 million in the world, but in the international market our value is not 70 KD per pound.